Good to be back in church. Enjoyed the fun night Friday night. We had a good time with everyone, and the taco dinner was way too cheap and way too much for as cheap as it was. It was very good. And the ice cream was good. All right, is there any Bible questions? How are you going to make it? Well, I think we've all got that question.
Yeah, Brother Smith?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's not really a question, I guess, but I've noticed as the attitude of people are such that leave me alone, and in other words, you try to introduce them to God or whatever, they don't want to have nothing to do with you, and they just want to do their own thing, and they actually get mad at you. And I know that's just the way of the world, but have you noticed that? I mean, it seemed like there was an increase in that, or what?
Are you talking about...
Even let's say the ungodly people, they, you know, these, like you, like... the fads that's going on and things that all that that is in the world and stuff, and you try to explain to them that it's not good, it's wrong or something, and it's ungodly, and they actually get mad at you. Do you think that's an it? Have they got worse? I mean, when I was a kid, when I was a child, you know, I never noticed it. Maybe I was ignorant, but I noticed that even the fads they weren't so much ungodly as they are now. Have you seen that? I mean, have you noticed any of that or what, brother?
Oh, yeah, there's no question that the world's becoming more and more evil. That's why you've got homosexuality running rampant, drug addiction, every kind of thing you can imagine is going on in this world, because it's getting, the sins of man is becoming greater and greater. And and people, you know, it affects the church. The church, as society... is there is a compromise in society with sin. There's a compromise in the church with sin. I can just tell you right now, there's a whole lot of things goes on in the body of Christ that wouldn't dare happen 40 years ago. People are, some of it needed to change, and some of it wasn't a good change. People don't fear God as much as they used to. In other words, there's things that have relaxed as far as sin. We've got more sin and more of the world in the body than we had 40 years ago. It's going to take God to help us with that. And it's going to take God. God will have to do something to this world to bring it in, basically America. You know, America's where God chose the United States of America to restore the church. I have no doubt that God had all of that, you know, in his design, that how he caused, you know, the Gentile world to develop out of the Middle East and up through Southeast Asia, and finally, you know, Spain. God evidently put it in the mind of Spain to explore the world. And of course, Columbus sailed out to explore the Western world. God put that in their mind to do that. And America was discovered. And of course, those that were under such great persecution from the beast system of the head of the beast that was forcing everyone to come under its power and had for so many years, there's no doubt in my mind that God, you know, started, it was time. There's a scripture in, and I know y'all have heard me mention this before, but it fits right here what we're talking about, in Revelation 12. Where the dragon, and this particular setting, when the early church warred with the dragon system of their day, which was pagan Rome, and of course Judaism was the beast power that had authority from Rome to persecute the church, the body of Christ. But there's where Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels, and of course the dragon was cast out. That's just the way that happened was, is that's a symbolic language that the dragon's influence was cast out of people's minds. People began to see and hear the truth, and there were no longer had the influence. They saw that that was teachings of lies and humanism and man's ways, and it was revealed to them, and so they saw that, and the dragon was cast out. In the 13th verse of Revelation 12, it said, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." See, that verse right there proves to you that this dragon that was cast out of heaven, there it starts off in this chapter, John saw a great wonder in heaven, a woman standing on the moon, clothed in the sun, with a crown of 12 stars around her head. And even after the dragon gets cast out, he's persecuting the woman. How could he persecute the woman if he was cast out of heaven? She's still in it. If you're looking at it like there's a, you know, geographical difference, there's not. He was just cast out of the influence of the body of Christ. Everyone that heard the message and received it realized that that they had fell, that Judaism had fell to a place of false religion and falsehood. And when they begin to see the truth, that power no longer had any influence over them. But the dragon still persecuted the church. Even though it was cast out, it no longer had the place of influence over the people. But it still was trying to stop the woman or the body of Christ. And verse 14 said, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. There's the 1260 years that this is all a time frame. The woman, during this 1260 years, she was given wings to come to America. She was given wings to the gospel that was preached, of restoration was preached, and that nourished the woman. During this 1260 years, finally, that's what happened. It wasn't...
Brother Smith, I got a question when you get... It in the 13th, it was a dragon, and then in the 14th, it went to a serpent. Can you explain that?
It's the same... If you look in the 9th verse, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. They're all four synonymous right here. So the serpent here is it's still talking about the same thing in the 13th verse of the dragon. It says, and yes, it's Catholicism. And then in verse 15, it said, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth.
You're saying last weekend you said that flood was just teaching.
The flood was the teaching of the Catholic Church that was universal all over the whole world. Here the dragon is trying to destroy the woman, which is believing in Christ. But the dragon took on Constantine, accepted Christianity, and so the Catholic Church, he set the Pope in place and gave him power, and so Christianity became a worldwide religion. And that helped the woman, because the whole earth swallowed up the religion of Christianity, and therefore it was hard to find where is this woman that we're persecuting, because she was able to hide in all of, you know, who, you know, I use that TV show that we used to have years ago to tell the truth, you know, and say, would the real so-and-so please stand up? Well, it's hard to figure out who was this woman that was persecuting, you know, or against the dragon system. They still, I mean, you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, they murdered thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, but they weren't able to snuff it out. They weren't able to destroy it. So the earth helped the woman in swallowing up the flood of universal Christianity. And so, but anyway, finally the Reformation brought the gospel here to America, that fled from the face of the serpent in, what was it, 14, no, I'm talking about the year that America was discovered, 1492, is that right? And then it became a nation in 1776, does that sound right? So, and in 1798, the end of the Roman Catholic rule ended when the French general Napoleon put the Pope in prison and ended his rule. And so America was given, you know, a place of freedom, freedom of religion. Our forefathers, you know, they were very well influenced with all of that, and God-fearing men that wrote the Constitution and made sure that they put a separation of church and state. That's probably the most defined law that they put intact, because they wanted to make sure that there wasn't a government that could force religion on them and take control of the church. And but, you know, so America has been a chosen place of God, and the church will be restored here, and it will be the bride will be made up, and now we're seeing the body. God's bringing other nations into the body of Christ. you know, all of these missionary works that are starting up. And that's going to be, those are going to be nations that are going to be prominent factors after the Battle of Armageddon for the work of the new earth. Many of those places could very well be a place of escape for the body of Christ before Armageddon. So God's preparing something. I can see that. So
when and where? But I remember you saying something about the time.
They're not hearing you, Brother Weiniger.
We may have to leave this country and go like to.
Yeah, that's what I just got through saying, that God's preparing these missionary works in these other countries that very well may be a place of escape for the body before the Battle of Armageddon. So, you know, just like Israel, the body of Christ escaped out of Jerusalem, and Israel's great persecution was so heavy, they went up into Paul's works in Asia. Most of the body of Christ was up there at the time that AD 70 took place.
Yeah.
You know, see, so there was, see, they had to flee and get out of the country.
What he was talking about a while ago, he was concerned about people now are getting hateful toward religion.
Yes, they don't want anybody putting any kind of conviction on them whatsoever.
And if it gets bad enough...
I read on, I didn't read it, somebody read it to me on Instagram, which I've never been on it. But somebody who one time went to this church was talking about their love for homosexuality, and talking about how great life is, and they ended their statement with saying, "Your opinion is irrelevant." So, you know, and that's how they feel. No matter how people think, you know, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. We're used to that was such a disgrace that, you know, they call it coming out of the closet. There's a reason they call it that. It's because it was such a gross sin that it's had to stay in the closet, because nobody in this nation would accept that kind of lifestyle. You know, 20 years ago, people started coming out of the closet, but 40 years ago, they stayed in the closet. So, you know, but you can just see that sin is running so rampant. I mean, our president is promoting that lifestyle and saying that before he gets out of office, that they're going to have, you know, he's going to see to it that they've got equal rights with everybody.
Here's just recently, and right now probably on the news, this multi-billionaire that owned this
basketball team.
Yeah.
silver. Oh, not silver. He's the NBA top, but Sterling. That's it.
And they're what do you call it? What they doing to him?
Well, they're ousting him.
Yeah, but is there no more the freedom of speech anymore? It's not a law against that. The law protects freedom of speech. And because he said that word, you know, or hinted to that.
Yeah, he's just a rough old guy that,
but,
you know, is not very couth and, you know, he's a very crass type person, evidently. I don't know much about him, but, you know, the deal is that has nothing to do with the law. That has to do with the rules of the NBA and the NBA franchise that gives the commissioner, or what's he called? Is he the commissioner? They give him full power. You know, he's got full power to ban anybody for life, and that's what he did. He banned this man for life, and he owns the L.A. Clippers basketball team, and he banned him from the NBA. Can't even go to a game, and they're going to force him. They've got to get a vote from all the other owners of the NBA, but they got to get a vote to actually oust him where he can't own a team.
But,
yeah, yes. Right. Somebody taped him in his own home, and so, and they are saying they're not sure that the owners, there's going to get enough votes to actually do this, because some of them are concerned about invading their privacy for something, you know, some other reason that somebody wouldn't like. So, you know, it's this guy's racist, there's no question about it, but to take his words right out of a home, his own private home, and judge him. But here again, this is not you couldn't judge this man legally with the laws of the land. They're judging him with rules of the NBA that they've put intact, and they've given the commissioner power to do what he's doing, and they know they're going to get the help of the fans and the team, because his remarks was against the black race, and there's probably more black players in the NBA than there are Caucasian, so, or any other color, you know, and so they know they got the backing and support. You know, it's a political move in one way, but I mean, the guy was grossly wrong in what he said anyway, but as far as morality is concerned, But anyway, the world is definitely getting more and more sinful, and our minds, the minds of our young people. Let me tell you, I started noticing about 10 years ago, maybe longer than that, maybe as far back as 15, time gets away from me. But I started noticing that, see, my generation, there was such a, I don't know what the word to use for it. I guess even hatred, but somebody help me come up with a word when I say what I'm going to say that would fit it. No, that homosexuality was such a gross sin and so out of bounds for the human race, that was planted in us that we absolutely hated that sin or any thought about it. I mean, even people that were ungodly hated that. I mean, it was planted in this nation so strong. But I noticed about, 15 years ago in Missouri, when I started preaching against homosexuality, I stirred up and made the young people mad. They turned on me for that. It happened in this church when I preached in it too. The young people did not like what I was saying, because their minds have been compromised by television and the media that's showing how, you know, what they're doing right now is they're showing the homosexual community has picked up on the racist methods, the methods of how the black race in America and the media begin to show how slavery was wrong, how they were treated wrong, and God knows it's the truth. I mean, if you're, you know, it started with the TV series Roots. That's where it started revealing how wrong, you know, the Americans treated the African American people when they came to this country. I do have something to say about that, that I hope is not offensive to anybody, but I think if you'll consider what I'm going to say, you'll understand something better than what maybe you've ever understood. When I went to the Dominican Republic, you know, I had a lot of questions to ask God why he sent me there and how these people, how these Africans got over there, slave trade. You know, they purchased them from the French slave trade. They put them in, you know, and they were slaves in Haiti. The Spaniards made them slaves in the Dominican side of the island. And I just started asking God a lot of questions because I know God does these things. He's got a purpose for what he does. And I was asking God to understand what he was doing and how. And I felt like God revealed this to me. That if you remember that how that Noah's descendants was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem was the righteous line that the nation of Israel developed from. Japheth went up into the southern Asian geography or geographical area. And of course, there's where your Gentile Caucasian race came from. That's my descendants. That's where I came from. Ungodly Gentiles, heathens, idolaters. I mean, you know, you just can't, you know, you can't get around it. That's just where we come from. We just come from the ungodly line, the unrighteous line. But thank God his mercy finally reached us. But Ham's descendants went south down into Egypt and Africa. And if you remember, Canaan was cursed because he was, you know, he could have repented to God. He could have turned back to God. Well, Japheth could have too. I mean, so... But anyway, there were in Africa, there was a lot of voodoo, witchcraft. That was a dark country for several years. When God brought those people, this was my question from God, why did you do this? Why did you bring these people over and make slaves out of them? I felt like God revealed to me it was His grace and His mercy that He sent the French to Africa to get those people, bring them to America, and Hispaniola was the first country, but primarily America. And God caused that slavery to take place and got those people here where they could hear the gospel in those cotton fields, in all of the places they worked in America. They heard this gospel of Jesus Christ and started singing them old hymns out in them cotton fields, and they found Jesus Christ. And when God got them to a place that he could turn them loose, he had Abraham Lincoln see to it that they got freed. And if you look at it and understand God's mercy and his grace and how great he is to reach out to all aspects of humankind to save them. And so it doesn't make you, me, anybody any better or any worse than anybody. It's just history of what happened to the human race and how God's grace and mercy reached out to save everybody. You know, so, it, you know, I'm not, you know, I hope that you can understand what I'm saying, but that gave me great peace as to why God wanted these people saved and what he's, you know, what he's done, how great God is. And I'm certainly, you know, I'm certainly willing to have anything I feel, you know, to consider adjusting it, you know. But anyway, that's my current understanding, that I feel like God showed me about, you know, the Dominican Republic. What my point for bringing this up is, the homosexual community has, you know, they picked up on how you know, the racism in America got turned around. And I'm well aware that it's not fully turned around, but it is to a much greater extent than ever before. But in watching things like Roots and knowing the history of men like Martin Luther King, it caused us to see the wrong that was done, the brutality that took place. And it made you sympathetic enough to change your mind about how, what took place, and how the human race, you know, I mean, there's just been so much happened to bring about equality. The homosexual community picked up on that, and there, the media of movies, television, you can't hardly turn the television on now and watch any program that they have aren't including homosexuality. And what they're doing is they're making you feel sorry for how they've been mistreated and how they've been persecuted and how people have been against them. They're everything. You know, it's always something about this really nice person that, you know, they just have this problem in their life, and you know, or this is just how they are. It's not a problem. It's how they are, but man's made it a problem. And they always put it forth to you that causes you to have sympathy. Our young people have been conditioned by that, where we were conditioned just the opposite way, to hate it, because we understood the Word of God shows, you know, and that's how much the world has come into the church, that many of the organizations, denominations today are accepting it, even ordaining ministers who are gay. And, you know, so, and they're promoting it. It's political. You want to gain people? You could fill a church up today if you just opened up. You know, one of the popular thing today is homosexuality. These kids coming out of the closet, first one in, you know, the first ones in sports, in a certain sport field, come out of the closet, they're popular. I mean, they gain fame for that immediately. It's amazing. Yeah. Well, the new Pope is probably most liberal, very liberal about these things. Anyway, Brother Caleb, I'm sorry I hadn't got to you.
Adding on to that thought, talking about how the media and modern America is affecting the way our youth are responding to that topic, one of the fads I've noticed over the last few years is a word, and that word is judgment. And it's being that word is being thrown around among the youth of not only the body but the rest of the world. Don't judge me. You can't judge me. You don't have a right to judge me.
Right.
If you don't agree with me, you're judging me. If you don't agree with something I'm doing, even if they don't necessarily say those things verbally, it's being drilled into their minds. I see it on social media. I see it on Instagram. Don't judge me. One thing that stood out to me was a picture I saw floating around on Instagram. It said, "Don't judge me. I was born to be awesome, not perfect." And I saw that that picture floating around among some of the youth in the body of Christ, and that made me mad. Because I understand that's exactly the opposite of what we're supposed to be striving for. But when you disagree with something that a young person is doing, because that's been drilled into their mind, their first reaction to that is, even if you're just trying to help them or trying to make them see something, is that you're passing some kind of judgment on them. And even if maybe you're judging something that they're doing is wrong, that that word has been twisted to have some big terrible meaning. And how do you respond to that? What do you tell somebody that's if you're trying to help somebody and they use that word as a fire escape, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think you just have to own up to the truth and say you're right. There is judgment, and I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. I'm just telling you that there is judgment. There's judgment in this land. Every policeman passes forth judgment. Every person in authority passes forth judgment to the rules that are set up in whatever the lifestyle or the life community that you're involved in. There is rules, and rules is judgment. So I live by rules, and you know, you're crossing the line, and you don't want me to say what I'm against, but you want to be able to say what you're for that is abusive or what's the word? Offensive. It's offensive to me, but I can't offend you by giving you my opinion. But you can give me your opinion, and I can't say nothing. You know, so you're asking for, you're passing judgment. The judgment is this is okay. You pass judgment on it. But if I say it's not, then I'm judging you. But you're judging me by saying that it's okay. So, you know, there's judgment, whether you like it or whether you don't. You know, you're going to have to live with judgment. And you're also going to live with the judgment that you're going to reap for what you're sowing, you know. That's true.
Brother Smith,
uh-huh.
Before you get away from that very argument won't stand up. Because when they make the statement to you, you can't judge me,
mm-hmm.
they're making a statement that is a judgment statement.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is they're judging you to say that you're unjust to judge me, but I can be judgmental by passing judgment of liberty for this lifestyle. It's judgment. So turn it around on them is the best way to do it. Sure.
When I was in there, I just heard some of it spoke on, but I was going to make a point off of what you said a second ago in relation to the African-American people. You know, the parallel is in the Bible, in the Old Testament, how God took the children of Israel from being in the promised land, basically, into Egypt, and then over that period of time became slaves for the saving of the children of Israel because of the famine in the land, and likewise, it had took them through a humbling process to become a people,
right.
A great nation. So it's the same,
right.
Parallel.
430 years they were in slavery.
That's on that point. Now, I had a question, though, as far as to reconcile this in my mind. When you mentioned the other works of the body, the Dominican Republic, Philippines, those others, as a potential place to go for safety, you said around the time of Armageddon. So for my mind's sake, in the last 15 years, the last prophetical hour, the first 7.5 years, though, Armageddon happens at the middle or the last of that? Where does
the end
Armageddon
of the
happen?
Last 7.5 year period.
Okay, so therefore, those of us who are here, who we're all going to make the bride, we won't be fleeing into those other countries because it won't be applicable to us if we've made the bride. It would be applicable to the Jewish nation.
They may flee. There may be quite a bit of fleeing before the bride.
But that's why I was trying to. When you mentioned Armageddon, so I was just trying to get the time frame to understand.
Yeah, before Armageddon. That last prophetical hour, there's going to be tremendous persecution.
So basically,
it's
going
to be hard to live in this country because it's going to be a dragon. It's going to be a dragon and a beast power that's going to shine. You're going to look like a diamond in a hog snout. That's a biblical term, by the way.
So you're saying, though,
well, that's about how out of place you're going to be.
At the beginning, you're saying, of the last...
Give me that scripture, somebody. That is a scripture.
You're saying at the beginning, then, of the last prophetical hours, when we'll be using those places to run to
Well, I think God's preparing these countries because the gospel once the bride removes, see, the church is not going to fall away.
Right.
So there's going to have to be places that are don't make the bride, but they're hosting the precious truths of the body of Christ.
That's where the Jewish nation comes back into it. If you've alluded that, to that before, that we'll provoke them to jealousy, and that's when they'll say, "Blessed is holy is he that comes in the name of the Lord."
Right.
And they'll take this message on through the 1,000 years, and we'll be assisting as the bride class of people.
Right. And that's not only in America will they come back. Many of several Jews will make the bride, I think, but they'll come back in, get grafted back in, and because of their backdrop or their platform of the old covenant, this will explode in their minds and they'll get it and they'll make it. But there'll be several come in that won't have time to make it. God will be able to, they will become that God will use a Jewish ministry along with these ministers in these other countries that have grasped this message. There's many of them, just like in the Dominican Republic. There's whole cities in the Dominican Republic that are all Jew. There's Jewish communities in the Dominican Republic. There's German communities. There's Italian. There's Holland. There's people from Holland over there. God's got some of these countries set up with people from all different nations that have ties into other countries that probably won't get the revelation of the body of Christ until after the bride's made up, and those countries will touch those. They've got contacts in those countries, and God's got it set up that way. So it'll have a great effect, you know, how God's going to do this. But and another thing is it's going to really give great thrust to these countries receiving this in its full measure is the fact that many of the leadership and bride, those that are going to make up the bride, many of them will flee to those countries and go into those churches, just like the Jews went into Paul's churches, and they had much more to offer and to help those churches with before AD 70 and before they were that they were made up in the bride and left the Gentiles with it.
While you're touching on that, I think in times past when we used the term that it's going back to the Jews, we've kind of had it in our minds that it's going back to a Jewish nation, not just a Jewish people.
Well, I mean, it is true there's more Jews in America than there are in Israel. And actually, I don't know that we have any scriptural proof right now. There's some, you know, God's still revealing things in prophecy. But I won't be surprised if the nation of Israel isn't basically destroyed before Armageddon, when America goes down. I think the way I see this happening is that the only way America could go down is from within, sabotage from within. There ain't a country in this world that's got enough power. There's not a number of group of countries that's got enough power to take this country down militarily. But it can be taken down from sabotage from within. And I think the only people that are insulated that have the power to do that is the Jews. The Jews are in our military. They're absolutely probably in control of our finance. They're in our central intelligence. They're in every top echelon of governmental control in this country. And we are not insulating ourselves against them. And I promise you, they're Jews before they're Americans. And Israel is getting very, very wearing thin in their patience of depending on America, where America's not helping them. In fact, you know, I don't think our current government has hardly any intention to help them. And so I can see where Israel and Jewish echelon leaders in the echelon a governmental echelon in America could put together a way to destroy this country overnight. Israel's the only country, and we armed them with missiles that will reach America. We armed them with that. And so they can bomb America. However, America's way got, you know, could fight off a lot of that. But I just think that eventually they will probably turn on America because of America turning on them. This just like our current situation is we're far more lenient toward the Arab nations and more in cahoots with them, I'll say, than we are with our feelings for Israel. You know, that's sort of going by the wayside. I think eventually, you know, they could bomb from within. They could destroy our financial institutions overnight. They could destroy our major military bases on the coast, in our coastal cities. They could destroy our Pentagon, White House. They could. 9/11 hurt us. They did hurt us financially. That hurt us. That one episode. But just think about that happening to your financial institutions, your governmental institutions, and your major military bases, all in the same day. And don't think it couldn't happen. It can happen. There's men in place that could cause that to happen. And Israel also could bomb this nation. Now, I think if that happens, I think this nation will blow Israel off of the map. I mean, they'll unleash nuclear weapons on them. But it'll be too late. And this country won't go down. In other words, I don't see any great devastation happen to this country as far as bombs and, you know, nuclear radioactivity that's going to, you know, I don't see that happening when America goes down. I just see America destroyed financially, militarily, and their governmental record systems. That's when the resurrection will take place. Right here in this country, and there won't be a record. You won't need a Social Security card because everybody, you know, there won't be any records to know when, you know, nothing about people, you know, because a lot of that's going to be destroyed. This country's going to be devastated. And it's going to go down worse than Russia did when it went broke. Then the 10 kings, the United Nations, I think it'll be the United Nations that will begin to try to bring stability to the rest of the world and help, bring some kind of continuity to the finances of the economic system of the world. It'll be bad for a long time because the whole world is going to be shook over it. The Bible says that is a great earthquake. In the 6th chapter of the book of Revelations, that's where that takes place. If you want to look in Revelation 6, this nation, this two-horned beast, it'll have to go down for 10 kings. How do you think 10 kings is ever going to come into power? And 10's the number of judgment, and that's why I don't think it'll be literally 10 nations. I think the United Nations it's already intact. Why does God have that intact? God sets up kings and he tears them down. He put that where it is. He puts everything where it's at as far as power and military and civil powers. God's got all this set up. He's got that intact. So when America goes down, that's a judgment seat for the world. It's the number 10. It's a place of judgment that'll try to hold international safety and each international economic stability to the world when America collapses. And something's going to have to happen to make America collapse. But here in the 6th chapter, in the 12th verse, it says, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. That, if you, you know, go back to Isaiah 13 and Ezekiel 32, when God showed, when he put Pharaoh, when he put Egypt out, he turned the lights out. The moon quit shining, the sun quit shining, the stars quit shining. That's Ezekiel 32:7 and Isaiah 13:10. When God puts a nation out, he turns the light out. America is the light to the world. The whole world looks to America for leadership, for direction, for economics, for military power, for stabilization socially over the whole world. And so verse 13 said, the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. There's going to be a great shaking when this earthquake, it'll shake the world when America goes down. And it could change. I'm willing to adjust, but right now what I see is the United Nations taking over and trying to bring stability, and that will be the ten kings that'll give their power to the beast, because he'll already, the two-horned beast is going to give power to the beast, and it's going to make an image to the beast, and so there'll already be a worldwide religion connected to America at that time, and the United Nations will honor that for a time. But then the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation says that they'll turn on her and eat her flesh. They'll destroy her. God will put it in her mind to do it. So there's a lot yet to take place in a short time to get there. All right, we're out of time. Let's go upstairs. I was going to talk today about the pre-Adamic race. We sure never got there, did we? Anyway, it's Brother Jerry's fault.